Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome back and Happy New Year here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production, and we continue part two of our interview with Alex Ben Block. Alex, a senior columnist for Hollywood Today, which is an online news magazine. HollywoodToday.net is the web there. And he's also the editor of an upcoming almanac of great movies from the past 100 years, and also a noted show business historian. I mean, Alex knows things that some people don't even know about themselves, but he does. And he's always a great guy to have as part of the Advertising Show. What a better way to wrap up 07 with his part one, and then start 08 with a brand new Alex Ben Block forecast of what's cooking for 08. So it's good.
Yeah, he's been around just about the time they started history. So he knows all that
stuff. That is in his bio as well, in Syracuse.
Right. He knows all about that. Hey, you know, I've been wanting to talk about this all holiday season.
Yeah.
And I want to get your take on this, Ray. What would you think if Katie Couric or Brian Williams or the ABC news guy, Charles Gibson, what if they were doing the news and they were going to commercial break, all of a sudden they went into an endorsement commercial on behalf of an advertiser? You wouldn't ever expect to see that, right? I mean, they're in the news.
Well, I would hope not. No,
right. They need their credibility, right?
Exactly.
Well, I was in a major market over the holidays, and most major markets and even medium-sized markets have news talk radio stations.
Right.
And you would have an anchor that always does the news and is known for the news. Well, in this particular market, to my surprise, and it's owned by a company that starts with a CC, Clear Channel.
Right.
A Clear Channel news talk radio station, one of their news anchors goes into a two-voicer commercial spot with a doctor promoting laser surgery, and it was his way of saying, now, I must say, when I got my laser surgery, I was concerned and that, and blah, 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 and he's got the doctor on the line.
That's not good.
Which is code for he either got free laser surgery or
he got a
discount.
He did get, I'm sure.
We're supposing, but, you know, so he's endorsing this, and then he has the doctor on, and the doctor, well, thank you, Joe Blow, and blah, 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 and I'm thinking, they've really crossed the line, I think, in allowing their news people to come out and do an endorsement and talk on behalf of an advertiser. I don't think that's right. Do you?
No, that's kind of strange.
It is strange.
And I understand the legitimacy or the need for doing the testimonial on a news talk station.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have the news guy do it.
The news guy should not be doing that.
Yeah, have the garden guy.
The garden guy.
Or even
guy
the sports
or
guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But not the news guy.
No, that does cross the line.
I think so.
That's one thing that Cronkite never wanted to do.
That's the way it is.
I'm not sponsoring anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Ben Block coming our way here in just a few minutes. That's weird.
I couldn't believe it. I thought I was mishearing for a moment, and then it was really over the top, and I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Well, you know, those numbers. Got to hit them.
Yeah.
Miller and Coors. Now, we like beer. We like good beer. I should preface that, shouldn't
right.
we?
How like about a light beer? Pass?
Yeah. Or the, what is this, the Big Swell IPA or the Bikini Blonde Lager.
Well, those are good
Who
beers.
Wouldn't want one of those right. out of the Maui Brewing Company, which I'm looking at right now.
All right. But you're not drinking one.
No, I'm not. And they come in cans, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, basically, the craft segment has gotten even more crowded. Basically, the small players want to look, or the big players want to look small. They want to look, you know, they
want
Coors
to become
and
the
Miller.
Micro.
Exactly, to, yeah. exactly. Last year, actually last month, Anheuser-Busch Michelob decided that after 111 years, it is now a craft beer.
Hmm.
And the affront from what independents deem faux craft beers keeps coming. Brands like Coors, Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Blue Moon.
I've seen it. I didn't know it was a Coors product.
Well, but I did not know it was a Coors Blue Moon until I'm reading this
yeah,
right
me
now.
Neither. Yeah.
Anheuser-Busch's Wild Hop and even Miller's, what is it called? Leinenkugel.
Hmm.
Are carefully positioned as craft brands, while their big brewer affiliations are purposely kept conspicuous. So I guess we took the wool, you know, took the mystery off of that. Yeah. So basically, if you like Blue Moon like I do, it's a Coors beer.
So, I mean, I guess it's a different formula or whatever, but it's produced by Coors, is what you're saying.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It basically, Michelob spending $30 million this year recasting itself as a member of the craft segment. How very interesting.
Well, I mean, you can't recast without renaming. I mean, just because you recast, you're still Michelob.
Seems like a little bit of deceptive, but I, you know, but until we see what's going on there. Hey, we have, can we take a break
sure,
here?
Yeah.
We have Jean Bliss, our customer experience person, and basically she's talking about a fluke, a customer fluke. Okay, I guess we'll have to listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
We hold customers captive, take away perks, and charge for things like never before. So how can it be we're so surprised they're walking out the door? Let's hold a mirror to ourselves. Customers have our number and they've had it. It is just plain too much work to reap the benefits of a loyalty program. Customers are exhausted by the plethora of offerings paired with the massive requirements for their redemption. Their eyes roll into the back of their head before it's all deciphered, and program materials are tossed aside to be read another day, which never comes. Instead, think Pearl Theory. Pick out one great pearl of an offer, something really special you can do for a customer you treasure, and then let them know what it is. One financial services company sent each of their best customers a personalized financial planner to their home and a bottle of champagne. Customers remembered that gesture and talked about it and came back for more from that company.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thanks much to Jean Bliss here on the Advertising Show, our customer experience. A little bit later on this hour, Patrick Meyer is going to talk about being bold, bold, bold. And we'll find out what that's all about as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have Alex Van Bock about to join us here. Did I just call him
Van
Bock?
Yeah, he's a Bock beer.
Alex Van Bock. Block, B-L-O-C-K.
You've been drinking too much Bock beer over the holidays.
Probably not. Who knows? Yeah. A noted show business historian and also senior columnist for Hollywood Today, online at hollywoodtoday.net. Go for it there.
Well, I was just reading that late last year, a billboard that delivers solar energy to Pacific Gas and Electric customers was unveiled recently in San Francisco, Ray, the nation's first solar-powered billboard. Prominently visible from the highway, features 20 solar modules connected to PG&E, that's, of course, Pacific Gas and Electric's grid, and can pump up to 3.4 kilowatts of solar power. Plus, in addition to installing solar, the utility has switched the board's halogen light fixtures to more efficient LED lights. With the debut, the U.S. will join Canada and South Africa, surprising only two others, as the only countries to use solar technology in this way.
Wow.
I would think it makes a lot of sense. You got a bunch of billboards up out there.
Why not?
They're freestanding. They're away from trees, most of them, I would hope.
Right.
They're visible to the sun and therefore create a grid among all those billboards and be able
to
also run the electricity of the billboard. That would probably be a little freebie to kick in, and then you become a part of the network to send the energy back to...
Exactly. Well, just like as if you would do it on the house or something.
Right.
You know, you'll use so much, and then you'll send it back and actually get paid for the power.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah. Back in Times Square, Toshiba is standing tall, apparently. An advertiser that's stuck with Times Square during the bad times is returning to take advantage of better times.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like it's an appropriate thing to do. Toshiba, a unit of Toshiba Corporation of Japan, has signed a 10-year lease for the giant 55x55 board on Times Square, One Times Square, which anchors the southern end of the district. Toshiba is taking over the top space on the building that has for the last decade belonged to a mega design for the Discover credit card. So they got it back. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Alex Ben Block on the way here on the Advertising Show, and we certainly hope you'll stay right here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean.
Welcome back to the Advertising Show, as promised, and if we haven't said it enough already, Happy New Year to you. Alex Ben Block, we promised last year, last weekend that was, as coming back this weekend and talking about what's cooking for 2008. It's going to be an exciting year. Alex is a senior columnist for Hollywood Today, an online news magazine at hollywoodtoday.net, an editor of an upcoming almanac of great movies from the past 100 years, with George Lucas books, and a noted show business historian. Block has also been heard for the past 5 years on KPCC, that's KPCC-FM, The Call Sheet in Southern California. It's an NPR affiliate and the nationally syndicated radio program. How nice of you to include us there, The Advertising Show, and we do indeed appreciate that. Welcome back, and Happy New Year to you, Alex.
Well, and a Happy New Year to you and to your audience. It may be a healthy and good one for all of us.
Well, thank you. And as Ray has said, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Alex, we're honored not only these past few years to have you on regularly, but look forward to many more discussions in 2008. Let's talk a little bit with the award season. Gosh, it just seems like yesterday we were talking about 07's award season, and you're making predictions about the Golden Globes, et cetera, and we're going to be seeing both the Golden Globes, Academy Awards, People's Choice, all those awards that are up on us. Put your Karnak the Magnificent hat on for a moment and share with us what you think the film and which films in particular and which actors you would expect to be having a big impact on this year's award season.
Well, I think this is going to be another year when a lot of the independent films are going to rise up and be award contenders. That may or may not be good news for the big studios, but for their specialty arms and so forth, I think that it probably is pretty good news. And I think we're going to see a number of films popping out. I'll tell you one movie that's getting a lot of attention that I can almost assure you will be one of the darlings of award season is called No Country for Old Men. And this is a serious drama, an adventure, and a war film. And it stars Tommy Lee Jones and Josh Brolin, and it's getting a lot of buzz. This isn't, you know, we talked last time we talked about the fact that many of the top movies were big sequels, like Pirates of the Caribbean or Shrek the Third. These are not the movies that are going to get a lot of attention during award season. They may win some awards for technical areas or special effects, but this doesn't seem like the kind of year that you're going to be seeing many of these pictures winning big awards. This will be more for independent films like The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, which is by the filmmaker and painter Julian Schnabel, and this is a drama, an adaptation, and a biography of a man who can only communicate because of disease and health reasons in a very limited way. And it's some people think a claustrophobic film, but it's the kind of thing that gets a lot of attention. I think one of the films from the past year that might get some attention is Eastern Promises. This was with Viggo Mortensen, and it's about the Russian mafia in America. Michael Clayton, kind of an odd picture, sort of a big release, even though it's an art house picture. This is with George Clooney, is the kind of picture that might get some awards. Among the more popular pictures you might be hearing more about is Hairspray, very well reviewed, even though it was kind of a PG summer musical, and was based on the play. This was with John Travolta and Nikki Blonsky. It's one of those movies that may get some attention. There's also Atonement is getting a lot of critical attention. It's a drama, also touches on war and romance, about a Cambridge graduate accused of raping a 16-year-old girl. So this is not the kind of season where you're going to see the popular movies also be the movies that win the Academy Award, like, say, the year Titanic won, when it dominated the box office and it dominated the Academy Awards, Golden Globes, and so forth. This seems like more of a year where you're going to be seeing a lot of these smaller movies that the critics love, but that audiences may not be as enamored of, be the ones who are going to get the most attention. And that's not necessarily good news for the ratings of the Oscars and the Golden Globes. The more obscure the movies are, the harder it is to keep the audience watching. So we'll see how this all plays out.
Yeah, and you, as you mentioned, you expect to see more independents this year taking a lot of the awards. Yet Disney had a strong holiday season, I understand, with the hit Enchanted, which offers a very innovative mix of animation and live action. I understand you saw that movie, Alex.
I did. It's a very charming movie. I'm not sure it's the kind of picture that will get a lot of attention. To me, I'd almost guarantee that when the Golden Globes look at the pictures in the musical and comedy area, that this is going to be one of the movies that there will be a contender. But what's nice here is that it mixes live action and animation in a way that's very fresh. So the animated characters move back and forth. Now, we can go all the way back to Jessica Rabbit, for movies that mix this and even before that. But this picture does it in a very innovative and very smooth way, and it lives up to its title. It truly is a charming movie, and so it's playing very wide with the general audience, and it's one of those pictures that mom and dad don't really mind taking the kiddies to, and so it's really for the whole family.
Yeah, well, let's shift gears here and talk about television for a moment. Do you think upcoming 08, the annual ritual for the advertiser presentations in May, you think that will be playing out as usual? Curious about that?
Well, you know, it's a very hard thing to know. There's been a lot of labor strife in Hollywood, and it's not all settled down. And because of that, the way that the season goes in terms of developing pilots and then exposing those pilots during the upfronts, and then the fall season, all look like they could be in for at least some change, if not in jeopardy. And so we're going to have to kind of see how this all plays out. But going into the new year at this point, because of labor problems, it's not clear how things are going to happen. The networks will still be on the air. They're still going to fill their time. They'll do it with reality shows and game shows. They'll do it with reruns or foreign programming, or in the case of one network, long-form docudramas. But whether or not it's the same as it's been in past years seems in doubt at this point.
Yeah, and I guess reality played a more dominant role this past fall with labor issues. Expect to see even more of that in upcoming schedules?
Oh, absolutely. Not only are the networks ordering new Survivors and Big Brothers and other stuff, of course, going into the spring, we have American Idol, which is the 900-pound gorilla of television, the show that saves Fox every year from obscurity. Although I got to admit, this year Fox had a good fall season, much stronger than they've had in the past. They have less baseball and more successful shows. But even so, American Idol will be a dominant show in the ratings all the way into the May sweeps. And I think you're going to see a lot more reality television shows, game shows, and other things that are not scripted this year. And, the nature of the network is they throw them against the wall and see what sticks, and they don't mind canceling them pretty quick.
Right.
But in some cases, these shows attract an audience. It may or may not be the audience that we think is to get, but it's enough of an audience to satisfy advertisers, and that's what this business is about.
As we look ahead to 08, we've got Alex Ben Block, our very special guest here on the Advertising Show, senior columnist for Hollywood Today, hollywoodtoday.net, and we've got a couple more segments to spend with Alex. We hope you'll stay with us as well. Here at the Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple.com, an incredible marketing machine using Tendency. Check it out at Shipple.com. Back in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else
Welcome back to the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And as we get 2008 under Ray, we've got Alex Benblock out of California. Alex is senior columnist for Hollywood Today, an online news magazine at hollywoodtoday.net. And welcome back to the show, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and by the way, as a show business historian, is that just code for I'm old, Alex?
Well, I am old. But hopefully it means also that I do in-depth research on the past and try to put it in some context.
Good.
And, you know, I'm working on a book that looks at 100 years of movies, and this is all about history. But it's also about going back and reinterpreting that history to try and understand better how things were done, why they were done, and the impact they've had on us even now.
Any date on the release of the book?
Yeah, really, when's it coming out?
We're looking at a late 2008 release, probably fall 2008.
Great. We'll definitely have you on to talk about that, and we'll keep our audience updated as we get closer to that date.
Thank you.
And who's the publisher?
It's being packaged by George Lucas Books. They do have a publisher, but they haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
But as soon as we have updated information, you guys are the first ones I'm going to tell.
Well, great. And just like a great Hollywood guy, he knows how to tease it a little bit there, doesn't he?
Well, the final contract isn't signed, so until it's signed, I don't like to talk about it.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You know, there's been a lot of speculation, Alex, on whether downloading from the web will replace traditional media formats such as DVD as the primary way to deliver content. I'm curious, is 2008 the year that we'll see more of this? And what trends are you seeing in this particular area?
Well, this is a huge question, mainly because the home video business, with the physical delivery of DVDs, is the largest and most lucrative segment of the business. We're talking about, at retail, a business that was worth about $25 billion last year. So the question is not, will it replace it, because it's already starting to, in some ways, replace it. The question is, how fast will it replace it, and how fast will the revenues from physical delivery of DVDs decline? And will the new revenues from electronic delivery be as lucrative for these companies? And the answer is probably no. And so there's some really big issues here. The big roadblock at the moment to delivering quality video over the Internet is the download time. If you have a high-definition file, it can take hours and hours to download that, and that's a hindrance that's stops the average consumer from actually doing it. However, there's many new kinds of technology coming along, higher speed lines, new forms of compression so that signals can be delivered in larger quantities more quickly. But probably 2008 is not the year that switch is totally going to be made, but it is going to be another transition year toward that. But by the end of the decade, I think we're going to see a significant number of people choosing their movies to be delivered electronically instead of physically. Now, that doesn't mean that the market for physical media is going away completely. There's always going to be collectors. If you have children, you know, you like to buy that cassette of Lion King or whatever your favorite kids' movie is, and your kids are going to watch it over and over and over again, and you know, maybe you want to have that physical media for that purpose. But for people who just want to watch the hits one at a time and they're never going to watch it again, they don't need the physical media anymore, and as the download times decrease, they're going to turn more and more to the electronic side,
mm-hmm.
and this is changing the business.
And the business model, I guess, is up in the air. The real trend is away from asking people to pay for downloads towards an advertising-supported model. Where do you see this going?
Right. In terms of things like television, what has been found is that people will pay under certain cases, like with the iPod. They'll download TV episodes they want to watch on their iPod. But for the most part, it's not been a successful model. Mostly people are used to getting stuff for free, and they want streaming video for free as often as possible, and they've shown a willingness to watch an advertisement in order to get it, even if they can't skip through that advertisement like they do with their DVR on their home TV. They'll put up with it in order to get the material for free. And so more and more of the studio model and the distributor's model is to go with advertising-supported streaming media that can't be copied and which people can watch pretty much at will whenever they want. Now, there is still a market for downloads when it comes to feature films and certain specialized material. Clearly, people are also willing to pay to download this stuff. But overall, from an advertiser and Madison Avenue point of view, the future is in advertising-supported media that's free to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stay with the business aspects of of the media world. In 07, we saw a lot of mergers, acquisitions, private equity money taking public media companies private. I'm curious, do you think we'll continue to see this in 08, Alex?
Well, you know, because of the change in the banking structure in the United States, the merger activity has slowed greatly. And that's not just in entertainment, it's across the board, but it clearly is affecting entertainment. The ability to get cheap, low-interest money easily is no longer what it was, say, 6 months or a year ago. And for that reason, what we're seeing now is not the kind of mergers where hedge funds come in and buy it just to see how much they can get out of it before they flip it, but rather we're seeing strategic mergers where actually the companies benefit or get larger or expand their markets by merging with another company, often in a related area or a similar area. And I think we'll see on a selective basis those kinds of mergers continue. But the merger mania that we saw at the beginning of 2007 because of the lack of capital is clearly cooled.
We've got Alex Van Block and another segment to spend with Alex here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Welcome back to the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe, and out of Los Angeles, Alex Van Block, senior columnist for Hollywood Today, a noted show business historian he is, and now I can say we're all broadcasting in high def. What that means, we've changed the studio lights to halogen or something
right.
like that. I don't
exactly.
know. Something like that. But anyway, welcome back. Always a pleasure to have you here, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just wrapping up the business aspects of 08 and what you foresee there. I understand, as you were saying, that mergers and, private equity money's dried up, but yet that does not mean that there's not potential for mergers for 2008. Let's get you to go out on a limb, Alex, and predict who you think, from a big media standpoint, might be merging in 2008.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the big questions here is Time Warner and whether or not they're going to spin off their cable TV system properties as a separate company. And I think it's likely they will do that. You know, Time Warner has a new CEO who's just taken over, who's a terrific guy, and I think that they're going to be looking to do a lot of restructuring. And I think that that is going to be symbolic of what a lot of companies will be looking at. You know, are the pieces worth more than the whole? For instance, Barry Diller with his company IAC, which is it combined over the past couple of years a lot of different travel services and other services, primarily over the internet. Recently announced he's splitting up into multiple companies rather than just have one entity because he felt that the stock market was not valuing the entities for what they were really worth. So he's breaking it up, and I think a lot of people, as money is more tight, as things are more difficult, are going to be looking at that. Of course, another big merger which is now taking effect is the Tribune Company sale, and whether or not the leverage buyout of the Tribune Company could lead to the sale of some assets there. A number of companies, big, powerful companies, are looking at spinning off their newspaper assets from the other parts of the company because newspapers are not being valued very highly by the Wall Street analysts the way they used to be. And so by spinning them off, some of the faster-growing parts of those companies will be allowed to soar on the market, Well, the newspaper business continues to adjust to the new realities of the world of multi-platform, where the advertising they used to get automatically now goes to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to say Craigslist is probably like cancer for newspapers, and it's going to continue.
Right.
Because the most lucrative part of a newspaper was the classified section. It's literally 100% advertising on the entire page, and a lot of that classified has been lost to Craigslist and other businesses like that. And that trend looks to continue to accelerate.
You know, we just have a little over a minute left. I want to save time for one final question. But real quickly, exhibition, which, of course, is industry lingo for how filmgoers experience movies. Trends for 2008, Alex?
Well, the movie theater business has undergone a tremendous consolidation since the beginning of this decade, partly for financial reasons. Back in the 90s, they began building these megaplexes, multi-20 theaters or whatever with food courts and all kinds of other stuff. And they overspent, and a lot of these companies went bankrupt, and they've had to readjust their whole game plan. But now what we're heading into is the era of even better theaters, where some theaters will serve you dinner during the movie. In the case of the Arclight theaters on the West Coast, they now are creating screening rooms that don't have traditional seats in them. They have couches that are very comfortable, and you sit with your friends on a couch or in a big stuffed chair, and you watch the movie that way.
Hmm.
And I think we're going to continue to see the prices of admission go up, but the quality of service offered and the personalization of the experience so each individual can get what they want become increasingly more important as we go forward.
They almost have to do that, really.
Yeah, they really do, to differentiate. One final question before we let you go. Any under-the-radar prediction for 08, Alex?
Under the radar predictions. Well, I think that for 08, we're going to see the year when they have to deal with marketing cost and production cost in a more effective way, both in television and in movies. And I think that they're going to, particularly in the marketing side and advertising side, begin to really squeeze down on a lot of these advertisers and a lot of the media and be much more selective and more targeted in the way they approach stuff. And I think that's a good thing for the advertiser, but it's going to be a continuing adjustment for major media who need to live with this new multi-platform world.
Couldn't think of a better way to start the brand new year than with our special guest, Alex Ben Block. Alex, always a pleasure, and we hope to hear much more about the upcoming book, the George Lucas Books, Almanac of Great Movies from the Past 100 Years. That's going to be cool. So continued success on that arena, and continued success with being the senior columnist for Hollywood Today at HollywoodToday.net. It's been a fun time spending with you today.
Well, thank you, Brad and Ray. A very happy, healthy 2008 for you and for all your listeners.
Thanks.
We've got more of the Advertising Show here in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Hello, amigo.
A healthy snack for 2008, always a good thing. Bananas are incredible.
Yeah.
And she's kind of cute.
She is.
Thanks again to Alex Ben Block here, senior columnist for Hollywood Today. Really looking forward. He said the book was going to be out when?
In the fall, I believe he said.
Fall, this coming fall?
Yeah.
So it's going to be an almanac of great movies from the past 100 years.
That'd be cool.
What a cool deal.
What if it'll include a DVD?
That'd be even cooler.
Coming out of, you know, Hotshot Studios there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, despite giving sober forecasts, two leading advertising industry analysts said that they do not expect an ad recession as opposed to an economic recession this year. U.S. advertising is expected to grow 3.7% to $294 billion in 2008, and worldwide advertising is expected to rise 4.6% to $653 billion. Important drivers, Ray, of ad spending in 2008 will be the Summer Olympics, of course, and U.S. presidential elections and European football championships.
Okay.
So while the U.S. economy may be in question, the ad economy seems to be okay.
Well, that's good
this
news.
This according to the Robert J. Cohn people.
And along the same lines, Forbes had a feature story about newspaper and the hope for online growth in 08.
I think that would be prayers, wouldn't it?
That too. Newspaper publishers are entering 08 with some of the worst economic conditions they've seen in many years. Those who will acknowledge it, as a dismal housing market weighs on real estate and other types of print advertising, obviously, they've got that to worry about. But industry executives told an investor conference about a week or so ago they hope to bring even more readers and ad spending to their websites with expanded offerings of news, advertising, and video.
Hmm.
So the newspapers are getting into the video business, okay?
Wow. Choose a new medium.
Well, maybe that's what it takes.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Patrick Myers, our marketing insider, and he has a feature for us called Bold, Bold, Bold. Let's listen to it.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Bold, bold, bold marketing thinking. That's what I'm talking about today. Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, even the young guard that's coming into marketing now are focused on bold marketing thinking. You need bold ideas that will inspire the consumer, inspire your organization, your agency, the whole damn world. Go bold or go home. Most brands suffer from non-challenger or non-thought leader culture. Committees deliver the average, and the consumer sees it and never responds. So here's what I want you to think about. What you do every day, are you kicking forward ideas that are bold? Not everything can be bold, but at least once a week, head to your client or head to your boss or your marketing team with some bold ideas. You're saying, Patrick, I'd love to be bold, but where do I start? Here's what I want you to do. Step one, you need to have a bold marketing wall in your office, a wall that's covered with stuff that you see every day that are smacked up on the wall that reflect bold thinking by other marketers. Step two, I need you to think about what drives your client's brand or your brand going forward so you know where to apply bold thinking. Those couple things that really drive the brand going forward. Then third, you need to challenge conventional thinking. Look at the sacred cows that you currently have on your brand or your business that do not deliver bold thinking. Look for places to step up your game, places where the consumer will respond and scream with delight and begin to talk about your brand and ultimately purchase it. So here's what I ask you to do. Push every major initiative to a bold idea level. If it's marketing wallpaper, they'll never see it, and you'll never win, and you will have lost your shot. So step up your game and become a bold marketer.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Always look forward to Patrick's stuff here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. You're looking at something there.
Well, you know, when it comes to branding, few names can compete with Rachel Ray.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, that's the TV chef, for those that may not know. Already with a line of books, Ray, as well as kitchen gadgets to her name, she comes out with an online store featuring Rachel Ray. Knives.
Just what I want in my kitchen drawer.
Yeah.
Rachel Ray Knives.
Right.
She doesn't know anything about making knives.
Well, no, but with her name on them, she's surely to sell and sell plenty. And then with O.J. Simpson endorsing them. No, he's not going to do that. But manufactured in conjunction with Australian knife manufacturer Furry, the line at RachelRayKnifeStore.com has pretty much what you'd expect with a high price to match, of course. It's only a matter of time, Ray, before she becomes the 21st century version of the Galloping Gourmet. Remember him, Graham Kerr?
Graham Kerr, and then he was the Galloping Gourmet Light.
Well, he drank so much during the regular program, he became the Galloping...
The sloshing gourmet.
The galloping AA gourmet.
The swishing gourmet.
Yes. But anyway, she's got the whole franchise going right now, and she better take advantage of that because it'll be, you know, Graham Kerr for her one day.
As it usually is.
Sure,
yeah.
It's all cyclical.
And then she'll turn into that lady who used to be on PBS who passed away.
That would be our dear friend.
Yes. See, I don't remember her name either.
Well, she's, and she started her career, by the way, while we're thinking about her name, at the age of 50-something.
Really?
She wasn't on TV before then.
Yeah.
And did a book by Betty Crocker, a very famous book. And we'll have that for you next show.
Or possibly even 2009.
Right.
Whatever. Anyway. But Rachel Ray, she's good. She's really good.
She is good.
I used to like the TV shows that she did. It was like $40.
Dinner on $40.
Yeah.
She's apparently gained a little weight. She needs to go back to eating on $40. That's just me saying
dinner
that.
Dinner on $20.
The whole day. I don't know.
Sponsored by 24-Hour Fitness.
Yes.
Exactly. Hope you've enjoyed the interview today, and we'll look forward to hooking up again next week here at theadvertisingshow.com. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine, and you can visit them anytime online at adage.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, had a good time and look forward to lots of great shows in 08. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.